Jason, quick question.
You are one of one.
Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year.
Help me understand a little bit more clearly what you're asking.
Did you ever hear it called Don't Go Jason Waterfalls?
Is this Matt Hamilton?
So I kind of just thought of this question on the spot. So it needs to be workshopped a little. I'm not going to lie.
That's the same as Matt.
Jason Wilde is on Jim, Matt, and Molly.
Oh, snap! What's up with that? What's up with that?
Welcome back to Jim, Matt, and Molly, presented by Coors Light. Prime for the Mountain Blue, you know what to do.
And that's Crush, a Coors Light.
We are live at North South Seafood and Smokehouse in DeForest because Badger Volleyball, Kelly Sheffield, John Audius, Sarah Franklin, and others will be here doing a Q&A starting at 6 o'clock. But before we get to Jason Williams, I want to tell you about Carbon World Health. Like, you're hearing people talk about GLP-1s. You're hearing people talk about semaglutide. You know I've been on it for a while. You know I've dropped the body fat. But here's the better part of it. It's not just about dropping body fat. Anyone can give you nutritional advice. Anyone can say, oh, just take GLP-1s and go with it. No, Dr. Nestor Rodriguez, one, is a doctor, is going to make sure it's safe for you. Two, is going to come up with a workout regimen that works for you, and then is going to monitor the results. So don't go by some fly-by-the-night, oh, we got GLP-1s now. GLP-1s now placed. No, go see the originals in Madison, the only place to go for it, and that's Carbon World Health and Dr. Nestor Rodriguez. Jason Wilde, how you doing? It's been a while. Good to talk with you.
No, it's not good to talk with me, actually. I have a very, very jealous 13-year-old who, again, much more important to go to your own volleyball practice. She's one of her team captains. She never leaves the floor. It is too important, her father told her, that you be at practice, then you go down to Madison for this remote at North and South with her. She likes to think her and Sarah Franklin are buddies because they talked multiple times at camp this summer. I'm not going to expect Sarah Franklin, who, by the way, stood and signed autographs for every single kid while she was still in a walking boot. And then when it was finally time for her to leave that night, she saw some kids who were too shy or nervous to come up to her. So she could have made her getaway with her walking boots, and instead she sought them out and posed for a picture with them and signed a jersey for them. Sydney was disappointed because when I told her where you guys were going to be, she's like, well, can we go? What, can I leave school early? I said, no, you're going to gymnastics practice, and then you're going to volleyball practice. But I will tell John Audius how jealous she is of him.
Oh, man, that's too bad you guys aren't going to be able to make it. Then do not let her know that we may have Charlie and Mimi here as well, Charlie Furbringer and Mimi Collier. So don't tell her.
Jeez,
that.
John.
Really, I just told
I'm not
her
trying to rub it in.
Yeah, no, I just told her it was you. And she was like, who? And then we were good.
Yes, sounds about right.
Jason, we've had some lively discussions, but I want to get to this is obviously not the only reason the Packers aren't in the Super Bowl, but I think a lot of times you just look at it, it's going to come down to coach or quarterback. So we asked our audience, is it Jordan Love or is it Matt LaFleur? Which one of those two is the biggest reason of those two why they're not in the Super Bowl? And 61% of fans said Jordan Love, which then also led to a conversation about how, again, entitled Packer fans are, because if Jordan Love turns into Jared Goff and that's what you have, most NFL teams would be happy with that. And I think Goody might have to start building a team that you need to provide Jordan Love with more playmakers and more weapons because he's closer to Jared Goff than he is Patrick Mahomes. And that got people – some people are like, well, then just get rid of him. If he's not going to be Aaron Rodgers, then we don't want him. So what are your takes on the idea that Jordan Love is more to blame than LaFleur for not making the Super Bowl, but then also like Packer fans' unwillingness to accept the fact that they might have Jared Goff, and most teams would be happy with a quarterback who's won multiple divisions and gone to multiple championship games and went to a Super Bowl.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack there, Jimmy. It's so much easier to be a Bears fan and just have your team stink all the time or be a Vikings fan like someone else on the panel and just know that they're going to disappoint you eventually,
both John and 19, I said that if you just told us today that you just gave us Jared Goff for Caleb Williams and J.J. McCarthy, I would trade out the high ceiling for that immediately, to your point.
Yeah, look, there's a bunch to unpack here, right? And part of it is you know what you know. And what Packers fans know is great quarterbacking. Now, I started following this. I don't use my Twitter much anymore, as you well know. But I started following this account because I ended up on the page that says For You, where they've got, like, the curated things from their program.
Page.
And it is. No, I'm not usually on that. And I came across, it's called, Smart. Like, Vintage Aaron Rodgers or something. And it's just highlights of Rodgers making ridiculous throws, including my personal favorite, which didn't even count, which was the throw he made against the Bears in Chicago 15-ish. I know Corey Linsley got called for holding, and it was an unbelievable strike for a touchdown to Devontae Adams, in which Rodgers gets bent in half by a pass rusher as he's letting go of the ball, and the holding call wipes it out. But for my money, it remains his best throw from having seen it in person and then in highlights. But what I realized as I watched it is that he was really, really good. And we forget that kind of stuff and how special he was. I remember having this effect happen, too, when I went to Donald Driver's retirement event that he had the Packers hold in the atrium and watching his highlights. And I thought, you know what? I had forgotten how unbelievable this guy was at one point in his career. I still don't think he's a Pro Football Hall of Famer, but he was a great player for the Packers. And so I think we are all, myself included, after 29 seasons now covering this team, I think we are all spoiled by the level of greatness that seemed typical. It didn't seem special because we got so used to it, right? And so I think that's part of this equation. Now, in terms of the correct answer, oh, the mail must finally be here. In terms of the correct answer, I think it's LaFleur. And here's why. I think in LaFleur's case, like, the challenge for him and Tom Clements and everyone else who had been involved with getting this team, you know, up to speed offensively last year, and Jordan Love up to speed last year. And this is something I want to talk about with Matt during the offseason. I'm hoping that I'm not going to go to the scouting combine, but I'm hoping to have some sort of audience with him at some point, because I am extremely curious how he plans on shifting gears in this offense to take two really good things, which is Jordan Love's talent, which he's not an elite quarterback, but he is talented, and we can't take that away from him, and melding it with the Josh Jacobs running game. Because when the running game of the Aaron Jones outside zone style was humming and the play action was part of it, you saw what Jordan Love did. And then you saw him this season, and even, I said this to Tausch this morning, even when they scored 30 points in a game, five straight games, it didn't feel like it. Like, you didn't go, God, are they really humming, right? It was a weird phenomenon that they were putting up that many points, and yet it didn't feel like they were really truly clicking. And so I think that it's on LaFleur and his staff during this offseason to really burrow down to figure out, okay, how can we make this offense with a great running back who uses a different style of blocking scheme called duo to get to where he wants to go, how can we marry that up with a passing game and a play-action game that will allow Jordan Love to get back to what he did during those eight games and the playoff game against Dallas last year? Because I will put that stretch up against Rodgers' 16 stretch and run the table, and they are very, very similar. I didn't feel like we saw Jordan Love do that very often, even when he had good numbers for a stretch this season.
So it sounds to me, Jason, I was going to ask you if you think Love at the age of, I think, 27, right, can he get to the next tier of quarterbacks in the NFL, or will he be just maybe in the tier below, which Jim and I were saying, hey, we'll take that in a heartbeat. It sounds to me like you're saying he can get there, but it depends on the coaching staff and the team putting the right weapons around him. Am I correct in that?
No,
assumption?
I mean, you're correct in that, but he's obviously got to do the work too, right? I mean, he's got to elevate his game as well. And I think another aspect of this that, you know, we don't have to have the conversation here because I certainly don't want to delay the excitement of Coach Sheffield and everybody that's going to be there. Oh, and you too, John, sorry. But
thanks.
I think. Sorry, I'm just relaying Sydney's feelings, not really mine. But I do think the other part of this, and you've seen it with Jaden Daniels, obviously, certainly Lamar Jackson, certainly Josh Allen, is the running aspect of it, right? You know, Jim, I would defer to you because I did not watch all of Caleb Williams' games, but I sure as heck saw him in Chicago, and what that element did, the Packers, that was what allowed them to have a chance to win that game, right, in the first meeting,
yes,
is that so effective running the football.
To your point, Thomas Brown, after he took over for Shane Waldron, said, like, hey, you are athletic. Stop trying to sit in the pocket. I know you want to be a pocket QB, but use your legs if it's available to you. And that helped Caleb have a better second half of the season after a midseason slump. So you're absolutely right.
And you can be both, right? Like,
yes.
Look, we went back and looked at Rodgers' rushing numbers, and he was always in, like, the 300 to 370 rushing yards in a season area. You know, Jordan Love in his first year as the starter was at like 247 or something like that. And this year it was at 83. Like,
yeah.
Malik Willis ran for more yards in his three combined full games, if you count the second half against the Bears, the second half against Jacksonville, and the two games he started. He had more rushing yards in those three games than Jordan Love had in the other 14 plus the playoff game. So that I'm not, and believe me, I'm not saying, even though I really like Malik and his redemption story, in no way am I saying maybe they should consider a quarterback change. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that element changes the way you have to be defended. And whether you're Dante Culpepper ripping out Packers' defensive hearts when it's 3rd and 11 back in the 2000s and taking off and running a guy over and getting the first down, or your Mitchell Trubisky in those rare times that he played well, doing the same thing, a little different style against the Packers defense. Even on teams that weren't elite, their quarterbacks changed the way those guys had to be defended offensively. And the Packers need that element because right now they don't have much of it. And maybe he would have done more of it without the injuries, but we never got to see it. If it was because of the injuries or for just other reasons, we never got to see that from Jordan Love this season.
Jason, we're going to ask this poll question in a minute, but I believe it was Rob Domofsky wrote a story, and it was quoted that Goody's done an outstanding job. Outstanding seems like a bold statement to me because I think it all is going to depend on, are they paying Baker Mayfield-type quarterback $55.5 million a year, or is Jordan Love going to take another step? I would say that Goody has been above average as a GM, not outstanding. So we're asking the question, if you were grading him, would it be outstanding, above average, or middle of the road?
Of course, I'm going to say, well, can I find somewhere between outstanding and above average?
Right.
Because that's kind of where I see him, right? I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah.
You know, first of all, his first-round picks, you know, that 2021 draft class, which I'm not saying that you have to hit a home run like he did in subsequent classes with some players. I don't think you have to have, you know, eight guys still on the roster from it, but by the time free agency is over, they're going to have zero, right? I mean, they're going to let Josh Myers walk. They're going to let – I mean, look, when you look at what Eric Stokes did, even when he was healthy, I mean, he was not a good first-round pick. So that's part of it, right? Now, I do think there's a recency bias, and, you know, he got Zach Tom, Rasheed Walker, Romeo Doubs, Christian Watson – Quay Walker, who I thought when he hurt his ankle in the second half of the season was playing the best football he had played, thanks in part to Anthony Campanile, who's now up for the Jaguars defensive coordinator job. But I thought that class was really coming on, right? And then now you've got the injury to Watson. You don't know what that means. The 23 class, we know what Reed and Wicks did and how excited they were about them. And then obviously, those guys both backslid to some degree this year. And then this class, you saw Edgerrin Cooper, you saw Javon Bullard, and you saw Evan Williams, and those three guys look like they are going to be long-term answers on your defense. But the league changes so quickly that we're giving them all these bouquets and flowers now, but if those guys don't continue to take steps, they're going to be just okay, good, decent guys. And so this is this is why I'm always reluctant to crown anyone, whether it's the quarterback or the general manager. He has put together a really good young roster that has not been good enough yet to get to where they want to go. Now, in Rob's piece, he talked about how he has a plan, and it's a five-year plan, so they're 2 years in. Well, I'm eager to see what year three looks like. Year three is incredibly pivotal for the GM, for the coach, for the quarterback, for all those wide receivers. They know that, too. They may not talk about it, but they know it, and I'm eager to see what the 2025 season brings.
Well, Jason, we have some time before that, so thank you for joining us, and we're looking forward to talking to you next week.
All right, tell Sarah that her buddy Sydney says hi.
Absolutely. I'll make sure John does.
Will do.
I appreciate you guys. Take care. Be good.
Thanks, Jason. That's Jason Wilde. Look, if you're looking for custom or if you're looking for family-owned or local jewelers, Chalmers Jewelers is your choice. They have custom jewelry options. They are a locally owned jeweler. They have great watches. You can treat yourself or you can get a piece of custom jewelry made. You can get a piece of jewelry refurbished. All that's available at Chalmers Jewelers in Madison and in Middleton. Matt Hamilton coming up next on Jim, Matt, and Molly presented by Coors Light.
You're listening to Jim, Matt, and Molly, presented by Coors Light on 100.5 ESPN, ESPN Madison on YouTube, and Wisconsin On Demand.